They live for achievements after achievements. They want to make a dent in the world. They want to make a difference. They want to have a big impact, a positive impact on the people around them as possible. That's one type of you know, dreamer, if you say, right? To live for that. Or some people say, I just want to be, you know, maybe the smartest person on earth who can solve all the big problems, right? Who is audacious in tackling them. Some people might just say, no, I don't want all that. I live for, you know what I live for? I live for a comfortable life. I live for a life where I don't have to worry about where money is going to come from. All those stress, you know, I have other people take care of that. Or I just don't have to worry about that. You know, they live for a comfortable life. They want a nice place to live, and they want to be able to travel the world whenever and wherever possible. And, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. Some people live for that, right? And there's still some other people that would long and live for a kind of deep relationship. They would spend a lot of time cultivating deep relationships. They might not have a lot of deep friendship, but they would spend time with their loved ones, with people that actually mean something to them. They just love them. You know, these are people that when you think about, they would put a big smile on your face. Right? You want to spend more time with them. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's your sons and daughters, right? You know, and these things are all good. So what do you live for? What do you live for? The late Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel once says this, "Never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. I ask for wonder. And he gave it to me. I asked for wonder, and it gave it to me." This morning, I really want to talk about this core value that we're holding. It's that there is this sense of awesomeness and wonderfulness about our God, that we stand before him. And it permeates our thinking, our being, and it is the reason behind the things that we do and our thoughts. And again, once again, Abraham Joshua Heschel, the late rabbi, says this, just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. Just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. Now, how do we even go about thinking about these big questions of what do you live for? When Christians are thinking about this topic, you can have multiple reasons, just like what I was talking about. But primarily, my prayer is that what we're living for is we're living for God's wonder. We're living for God himself. We're standing before this magnificent being who cares and who loves us. Now, we often dream of being unique, because when we talk about what we live for, a lot of times we focus on ourselves. And while, you know, it is not entirely bad, because you have to learn how to take care of yourself as well. We often dream about being unique. I spend a lot of time thinking about that too. Even in the sermons that I preach, I ask, how am I different than the other preachers, right? Even in the church I'm leading, along with you guys, I think about that. How are we different than the other churches? Right? But we long for this uniqueness, and sometimes this uniqueness will lead us astray. Because when we think of uniqueness, when we want to live for being unique, we want to add ourselves. Uniqueness is a very rare item. You can think of an original song, some songs that has been written, you know, maybe a few decades ago, like by the Beatles. Maybe those songs are really, really original and they stick, right? So a lot of us ended up living only for this uniqueness. We want to be different, and we ended up wanting to pander the approval of our friends or even strangers. We want to get their attention. Yeah, we want to get their attention. We sort of live for some people, other people's attention, and other people's approval. And when we dig a little bit deeper, we often find, you know, we ask, why? Why do you want to be different or be unique? Why do you live for being just different? You know, the answer often could be very logical or obvious. Well, someone might say, it's my job to do the best, to do my best. Or it's my job, you know, I'm just a high achiever in nature. You know, well, you got to differentiate, right, so that people will pay attention to you. But like I said before, when you really peel back the layers, you begin to see that there's a singular need for simply just being the person who is accepted, who is accepted in a community. And all the while, God tells us that he accepts us. All the while, God is right beside us saying that he takes you in just as you are, and he will continue his work on you to shape you. So when we talk about awe, standing in awe of God, awesomeness or being in awe is a feeling, by definition, of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. There's a little bit of fear and trembling in you when we talk about being in awe of God. So that's just a definition that I grabbed from the dictionary. Now, I believe that we have three kinds of miracles that I want to talk about. Because when we talk about being in awe of God, we think about God and God's work. And a lot of times we think about miracles that are causing us this sense of awe. And there are three kinds. And the first kind that we're going to talk about is this: miracles that don't happen every day. Okay, the first kind is miracles that don't happen every day, that will leave you in awe of God. Now, the Psalms is a place to go to for a treasure trove of people who seem to be endlessly inspired by the awesomeness of God or God's work. There are various Psalms that talks about the miracles that God performed. For example, Psalm 78. Now, I'm going to go a little bit faster, but if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me as well. Psalm 78. This is the first passage of the day. All right, for those of you who are wondering what are some of the key passages, this is one of the first passages, Psalm 78. And just move your finger down to verse 13, 14, 15. It says this: God parted the Red Sea and led them through it. He made the waters stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud during the day. He led them with the light of a fire all night long. He broke the rocks open in the desert. He gave them as much water as there is in the oceans. Three things that God did right here. He parted the Red Sea. How many of you have heard of the Red Sea, the story of the Red Sea? Yeah? Okay, good. This is where the Israelites at one time were enslaved by Egyptians, Pharaoh. And God raised Moses and talked to Pharaoh. And eventually Pharaoh says, okay, I'll let you guys go. You guys can go now. You guys are free. You know, after like almost 400 years of slavery, and Pharaoh says, you may go now. So there were, I think the record was like at least 1 million people. Some would say like 2 million people of this massive exodus leaving Egypt. So for the Israelites, they are now free. They are crossing the desert, and now they have come up to this sea, this vast sea called the Red Sea. And God told Moses, just spread your arms, and then basically, you know, God will do what he intends to do. And the water just split open, stood up like a wall, and the Israelites just walked through it. And so you have to understand, in the Israelites' minds, God is doing an awesome work. God is doing a wonderful work. And God continues to lead them through a cloud during the day, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire during the night. God gave them guidance through supernatural ways. And these are things that you don't see every day. But that would leave you in awe of God's work. And there's this story that I came across. It was this woman called Brenda Epperson, and she lives in California. And last year, there was a wildfire there that took down many, many houses that just left them burnt. And she later on came out to say that, hey, during that time, my house was actually left intact. And she didn't say it in a kind of arrogant way. But when people ask her, so what happened? She says that she was actually praying for her house during the wildfire. She was praying for her house, and she was also praying for some of the livestock, like horses in her house as well. And she says that, you know, I just want to say that God's love is there for each of us if we just simply say yes. And it's been an honor helping her friends and her neighbors because her house was still intact. She was able to help other people during that time. Now, do these happen every single day? Have you ever heard of people praying and the fire stopped? Like, this is not the first incident, but I've also read other incidents where people have been praying and the fire just stopped right before their homes, right? Some of us, when we are listening to these kind of miracles, the challenge for us, especially for me as well, because I'm kind of, you know, kind of logical, like how do these things happen, right? These things seem impossible for us, and often we're helpless against these natural disasters or disease or accidents. But if you feel that way, then just like me, if you're feeling that, you know, how could these things happen, we should never be looking forward to God miraculously helping us, delivering us from these sort of accidents and things like that, then it's very possible that we're only focusing on what we can do and not what God can do. And very often when we come up in these cases, it's almost like a challenge for all of the Christians. Will God show up every single time? It's like a game. You're playing this game with God. God, I pray for my friend for his disease to go away. God, will you answer? I don't know. God, will you answer? Right? The Bible reminds us that when we pray, we should have faith. And when we do that, we will experience the God's work that will leave us in awe. Now, I'll be very honest with you. My experiences with God personally has not been like parting the Red Sea, right? But I've shared with you how I lost my wallet and the police called and I, you know, got on the bus, tried to go to the police station to get my wallet, you know, and I was looking for a church and God basically put a couple of Christians behind me that was talking about church. Do you guys remember that story? You know, that's one of the ways that I have experienced God, you know. It's nothing like spectacular, but it's definitely a miracle that left me in awe of God. Now, this is the first type of miracle. Miracles that don't happen every day. I want us to still pay attention to these things too, because if we don't believe that God still work up these sort of good, big miracles today, then I think there is a lack of faith in there. But most of the Christians, the challenge really is, so will God perform this on me? And there's really no control after that. Just let God be God. When God puts it in your heart to pray for certain things and a big outcome, go for it and leave the results to God. The second kind of miracle that would leave you in awe is the miracles that are happening around you every day. The miracles that are happening every day. Now, the first one is the miracles that you don't see every day. This one is the miracles that happens every day. And Psalm 8, you can turn there with me as well. Psalm 8, the psalmist also says something about this as well. He says, Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. In all the earth, you have set your glory in the heavens. And then verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. So the psalmist here took one look into the skies, the heavens, and he was left in awe of the stars that were there, of how beautiful they are. Now, the psalmist does not have the numbers that we have today, because if you only know the scientific knowledge that we have today, it'll be amazing. Because it tells us that the stars that are above our heads, the light that comes through, the closest star to the earth is called something called Proxima Centauri. That's the name of the star. The light, the time that it requires that light from that star that's closest to the earth actually it takes about 4 years to travel to reach the earth. 4 years. So we're looking at an image that's produced by lights that is 4 years old. And the furthest ones away goes up to like 2.5 million years away. Like that in itself, it's amazing of what God is doing. And I remember I was on the lake. I have these numerous stories on me on the lake, and some of them are kind of funny stories that I almost can't save myself, right? But this one was just this past summer, just on the lake by myself, on a kayak in the middle of the lake, and it was just calm, and it was calm, and it was almost as if the kayak was sitting on a mirror, and it was really beautiful. And the next day, I was on the kayak, and there was a little bit more wavy. And you see, you know, the tiny, sometimes when it ripples, it creates tiny peaks, like mountain peaks, if you've ever seen it. And to me, that was one of the most wondrous things that God has created. Now, you might not be a Christian, and you might not think that God created all of this, but I suppose that is the difference between a Christian and someone who doesn't believe in God. Is that we do attribute these sort of beauty to the Creator God that is behind all of the creation. And so it only takes us maybe a minute or two to sit in these wonders and to sense the awe and wonder that is happening in us. And these are miracles that are happening around us every day, every day. And another example of this would be Psalm 139, where the psalmist talks about how God created him. Verse 13, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now, the birth of a child is the most wondrous things on earth. How does how cute is the tiny hands and feet of a baby? And when you look at them, you can't help but really sense that, you know, this is really something amazing that is happening right before your eyes. And the psalmist here is really, he does something that's really interesting. This is what Jesus followers or Christians would do, right? Although, you know, he didn't know of the name Jesus back then, right? Is that he thought of himself being made by God, and the Spirit took him into a deeper place, and he began to realize, God, you know that full well. You know me. That was his realization. And he said that I was made in a secret place. And you imagine that it's not just a physical creation anymore. This is an intimate relationship with God, that God actually created him in this secret place. He went from, oh yeah, God created, you know, me, wonderfully made, cute babies, to God, you know me very well. You know me very well. I belong to you. And he made the connection with that intimacy there. And that is what we ought to continue to learn, is that, yes, there are miracles that don't happen every day. And sometimes we do pray for those things to happen. And God sometimes will answer those things that would leave us in awe. But there's also all of these beauties that surrounds us every single day. And we must pay attention to those. We must continue to pay attention to those, because I believe that's the gift that God has given us. You know, as I was singing the song, "What Can I Do?" what was that song again? I forgot the name. Like, what can I do? Right? Yeah. I was like, oh, this is really good because we get to sing. How many of you like to sing? Yeah, we all, well, most of us like to sing. And singing is the most amazing thing because you kind of just, out of nothing, you're just kind of talking and then all of a sudden there's melodies that come up, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. That was nothing a second ago. And all of a sudden there's something, right? And then there was nothing here. And what can I do but thank you? What can I do but give my life to you? And so these are the things that might seem very trivial or even ordinary. But when we do pay attention, they become these wonders. The fact that we are sitting here, breathing in and out. The fact that our ears are actually receiving the sound waves and really converting those words, these words, into something, hopefully, that is understandable, is a wondrous thing. It is beautiful. And we want to live a life that is grateful to that. That there is not a moment that goes by that we would take this life that God has given us for granted. So I suppose you can say that life, the life that we have right now and the people around us, when we pay attention, is filled with miracles that happens every single day. Now the third kind of miracles are miracles that are happening in you. The miracles that are happening in you over a long, long time. The previous two, we were talking about maybe it's, you know, it's a fire, you pray and it stopped. The Red Sea parted because it was a dire situation. Or you just look at a baby and you are filled with a sense of awe. Or you realize that you can move certain muscles and that's a blessing. Or that you're breathing, that's a blessing. This one, this type of miracles are the miracles that are happening in you. In Psalm 46, it says that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Psalm 46 begins with a picture that God is there, but it also begins with a picture that the mountains are crumbling down, that the waters are surging, the waves are high and foaming, everything around you is just quaking and falling apart, if you will. But yet inside, the psalmist is saying, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. And in verse 11, he hears God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And this is when everything around you is not working, when people are leaving you, when the job you want is not there anymore, or your loved one is sick. Things are just not working well. But God says, be still and know that I am God. These moments often feels like no miracle will ever happen. But when God is working deep and deep within you. Now you can think about this as an example of Moses. Moses, when he was a prince of Egypt, for the first 40 years of his life, he was living in the palace, right? He was actually from a Jewish family. His mother had to give him up. He was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and then he lived his life as a prince in the palace. But one day he saw some unjust thing happening between an Egyptian and a Jew. And out of his anger, or maybe a sense of justice, he killed the Egyptian. But to his surprise, he actually thought, this is my way of leading my own people. He had something being worked out in his mind. This is my way to lead the Jewish people, right? But when he came across a couple of his own people, the Jews, they weren't happy with what he has done. They actually were saying, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And that began his exile for the next 40 years. That he went into the wilderness. And one day, as he was tending sheep. So there you go, right? You went from the prince of Egypt to a nobody in the wilderness tending sheep. And he heard and he saw something burning. And it was a burning bush, but the bush did not get devoured. So he walked over and he discovered that the bush actually could talk. Take off your sandals because the place that you're standing is holy ground. It's holy ground. And he begins to do as the bush says. By the way, that's God himself. Later on, God actually told him, you will lead my people out. And he was already older back then. And it was like a dream that he had, but God was reviving his dream and saying that you're going to lead my people. I think Moses was probably thinking, not me. Not me, because I thought I was doing it. But it didn't happen. So why are you telling me now? I can't talk. You asked me to talk to Pharaoh. I can't talk to him. I'm a man of slow speech. So he has all these reasons and he was hurt. And he was not ready for the job. But God says, no, you have to do it. You are to do it. And I guess the rest was history. Once Moses responded to God's call, yes, the road ahead was treacherous for him and for the Israelites. There were many triumphs and failures as well. But in the end, the miracle was happening deep within someone like Moses, is that God was shaping him. God was shaping him. I'm going to ask the team to come up. God was really molding him into a true leader, someone who's mature, someone who can discern God's voice, and someone who can lead people, truly lead them, and not act out of his own emotions. And so the miracles that are happening in you could be happening right now, my brothers and sisters. And I've heard you, some of you, tell me, I might have this issue. I think I might have this issue. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you do. But I don't say that in contempt. I smile, I sort of laugh because I know God is working on you. I know that's a sign that something is awakening in you. And it's the most beautiful thing. You wouldn't want to live your life until the end of your life and you all of a sudden realize, what have I done? I have never been awakened to this God. I'm still struggling with all of these things that I've never gained any headways on. But God intends to work on you, and God is working a miracle in you as you're listening to this. But would you be open to that? Would you open up to that? Because if Moses back then says, nope, God, nope, and then he turned his back and just walked out, what's going to happen? God's probably going to have to raise another person. But Moses would not be the same Moses that we know today. And so this is what I hope that we as a church can live for. Is to live for these miracles. These three kinds of miracles. And if you have been here for a while now, you know that we, or I... Pastor Tina, we tend to talk about the path of following Jesus more so in the third categories, the second and third, okay? Like, which is paying attention to the tiny things around you, because those things are just there's just gems hidden in those tiny, tiny things. so ordinary, but God is speaking to you right there, right now. And we also talk about the third kind of miracle, the miracle that is happening in you, where God is just shaping you through the hardest things, the difficulties that you wish that you could, God could just do away with right now. But like I said last time, when we pray for things to happen, when we pray for transformative change in us, when we pray to become a mature person who can listen to God, who can comfort people and counsel people, who knows God's word, then God will send you difficulties, because God can do what you cannot do. God can do what you cannot do. And you got to have to trust him that a miracle is working in you right now. And we just need to pay attention to the difficulties that are placed right before us. So yeah, we come before God today. And these are the three kinds of miracles that I want to leave you with today. And I pray and hope that God will open your eyes, and that we will be sitting and standing right before God. And we realize that, oh, this is sacred. This is sacred. And this is sacred. So let's quiet down for a moment. Let's quiet down for a moment as we pray. I'm just going to share this. There are times when I would be serving. And there are times after serving, maybe it's serving the teens, or maybe it's just hanging out with brothers and sisters and listening to what you have been telling me. And after you guys are gone, maybe it's at church, maybe it's in a place that I'm in my car, I'm just thinking through this. Or maybe it's just at home, I'm thinking about you guys and I'm thinking about the people. And all the problems and issues, not just your own, but mine, God all of a sudden would remind me how beautiful all of the problems are. And you might not agree with me, but these things are what, the problems are what brings us closer to God. And from there, that really comes a sense of awe of who am I that God would place me in the path to serve other people. Maybe you have felt the same as well. My prayer is that we can continue this journey, that we'll learn to stand in awe of God, because this is sacred ground. It is sacred ground that we're standing on. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this life you've given us. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the community. We thank you for the one day event that happened yesterday. And we thank you for all of the extraordinary things that seems ordinary at the moment, God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to open the eyes of faith, that we will see the way you see, that we'll see that you are right beside us, journeying with us. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters and my friends who are facing incredible difficulties in their life right now, be it relational issues or issues that concerns the future that is uncertain. Maybe it's about the job. Maybe it's about the finances. God, all the big categories that burden us so much, God, I pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us, these brothers and sisters and friends, to know of your hope and your love that is found in Jesus Christ. That God, you journey with us every single step. Though at times it feels like you're away and not listening, but you're right there. Remind us of how you raised Jesus from the tomb, and now the tomb is empty, God. Remind us of that. And so, Lord, we thank you. We give ourselves to you, and teach us. Teach us. We want to spend our lives learning and standing before you in awe and wonder of your work and who you are. And God, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.